Friends, welcome. This is Archangel. Okay, so buckle up. I'm about to strike on one of the biggest nerves that society has. But my loyalty lies in freeing the enslaved. And so I must expose the insidious havens of male devaluing gynocentrism wherever they hide. And one of the biggest, if not the largest, instigators of male expendability is motherhood. We bow to mothers even more than we worship females sexually. Motherhood is hallowed, untouchable, holy ground that even male empowerment warriors dare not trespass. Males will see that they are devalued and discarded by society and realize that females care not for them. Well, except moms, and especially their own mother. And their sister, and their daughter, and aunt, and their neighbor, and the convenience store clerk they get their morning coffee from, since she is a mom also, etc. Males rail against generic, unfamiliar females, against some ambiguous, out-there feminist collective. Yet the females that they personally know are different. And of course, motherhood is off-limits when discussing sources of male devaluation in this pathetic world. The hypocrisy that most males practice is amazingly blunt. But really, we have been bamboozled into elevating offspring-producing females to an artificial pillar of untouchability even by God. Well, I see through all the pomp and ceremony, and I am here to pull back the rug to reveal the unsightly reality of the creature we worship as the holiest of divinity. Why are mothers so elevated and worshipped? The female, who is the mother, has not done anything special. As I have stated elsewhere, life is created through females. Females do not create their uterus. It is simply the beaker in which life is formed, without her conscious input. Cells organize and replicate themselves. We exalt females as creating life, but they are merely the host allowing life to create itself within and through her. Curse me all you want, but this is the truth. That pregnant female that you exalt is not consciously creating. She is not directing or orchestrating anything. She does nothing intellectually. She does not have to assemble the fetus or decide where a head or an elbow will go or how to make milk in her mammaries for the infant. All of this, everything is automatically done for her by nature. There is no genius or brilliance involved on her part. Oh yes, now she gets to eat more, pee more, and has the inconvenience of carrying a few pounds of weight around with her for a few months. We know, because males have been forever shamed with all these details of pregnancy. Yeah, well, try carrying the weight of a bunch of hungry mouths and a gynocentric world around on your shoulders for the rest of your life. If you take the divine mystery and sparkly bows off the reproducing human female, you will observe a gynocentric hypergamous human. Still, we exalt mothers more than anything else on this planet, and we degrade fathers as a deadbeat nuisance. Do mothers in fact care more for their children than fathers? No. Then why do we allow females in mother form even more grace and exaltation than basic females? Because we give mothers proxy protection for children. Since females are the exalted babysitters of children, they get defense by association. Females get in on the protection gravy train because they align themselves with children, and we do everything to protect offspring. From a detached, neutral platform, this is merely female animals tending juvenile animals to invoke the protection and resource of male animals. Now, let's look where nobody dares to tread, the dark side of the motherhood moon. I watched a movie the other day which conveys amazing amounts of societal priority. It was essentially about a wife and mother who is unknowingly pregnant again, though she already has 3 kids. She then goes on a murdering spree and kills 2 of her kids, the dog, a neighbor, etc. Of course, they involve all the usual suspects. She is oppressed, underappreciated, who gave up her dreams for her kids. You know, the usual mother-sacrificing cliches. They paint her out to be the overworked, marginalized, unhappy housewife of a cold, distant truck driver who has to be on the road in order to earn money to support the family. She is portrayed as the victim who gave up dreams of being an anchorwoman for a family. Then she snaps and starts killing the kids. After this homicidal spree, only the oldest boy survives, and she is institutionalized. At the end, the doctors are talking about postpartum depression, and then it switches scenes to the husband sitting with the surviving son in the waiting room of this hospital to tell him that mommy will be coming home soon when she is all better and that they will be a family again, to which the boy reacts with terror as most children would whose mother tried to kill them. Quite a lot of observation regarding our gynocentric male devaluing culture is being aptly displayed here. For starters, she is portrayed as the sympathetic victim. She gave up everything to be a mommy. Then something snaps and her witch jumps out of the bag and she kills her kids because she is psycho. Yet she is spared consequence because she is female for one, she is a mother for two, and three, she couldn't help her actions because her hormones were skewed as a physiological effect of exalted motherhood on certain female bodies. So, you see, nothing was her fault. She was ultimately the victim of hormonal imbalance, female hardships, motherhood hardships, male oppression. Take your pick. And in the end, she is institutionalized because she is pregnant again. She is not awaiting charges of murder in some jail cell, and hence, she is going to be released after all of this to go back home. How sweet. Moreover, the man whose wife just murdered two of his kids is washing the slate clean. Forget about the slain children. Ah, what the heck. Just water under the bridge as he goes on to place his remaining son in further danger in order to bring home a homicidal schizo chick from the hospital. If this was a father that had done this, he would have been in solitary confinement with no chance of release. He would not be getting off the hook for offspring homicide because of hormonal imbalance, or snapping because of the pressure of life after giving up his dreams to drive a truck to support the family he gave up everything for. However, the reverse is true, and this darling angel female that he married goes around shanking people, and she is forgiven. This mirrors quite well our actual societal memes, namely of motherhood. First off, we hold mothers as the highest of high positions attainable by mere mortals. Next, we elevate females and femininity to pedestals of divinity and worship, yet mothers are held above even that. Females know that mothers are exalted, and they use this exaltation for all it is worth. We are so brainwashed into bowing before the female half of the parental head, to the point that we overlook the fact that mothers are female, and females are malicious and gynocentric. Oh, come on, this lady was just having a bad day. That's no reason to hold homicide against her. She is a mother after all, and besides, she has another bun in the oven. And the pathetic mangina father simply forgives all trespasses and fails to protect his remaining child because he is not done chasing salvation through this particular female. Mothers and motherhood is the eldest of the male manipulating trinity, which is sex, fragility, and motherhood. These are the three manipulations females wield over males, and motherhood is the most potent of these three. We use mothers and their likeness to invoke all manner of shaming in males, to coerce them into being willing, expendable drones who defend females who produce offspring. I mean, after all, you were granted an undeserved mercy from some female that carried you for 9 months, so you need to devote the entirety of your life servicing females in attempts to pay them back. We so ruthlessly shame males into conformity using motherhood and images of mothers and babies. It is observable that females do in fact care about their young, but then most humans, male and female, care for helpless beings, whether kittens or infants. Males care about all. females and males and infants and kittens, whereas females care about themselves and infants and kittens. Did you catch that little discrepancy? There is no female to male caring, yet branding females as benevolent towards all because they care for offspring is quite a slippery slope. I assert that most times it is an instinct in females to care for young children, while simultaneously harboring resentment for offspring. Females are not pure and altruistic simply because they birthed a child. I will no doubt invoke fervent outrage and anger from everyone, but especially from Mama's Boy White Knights for my observations here. But females carrying a child in their uterus for 9 months is not equal to the totality of male accomplishment or toiling for decades on end to support that child or the mother or the tax machine that other mothers and children live off of. If we want to use the division of labor argument that females birth children and so males do everything else, then it is an unjust barter, where females simply pop out copies of themselves and tend to these copies, while the males have to build, labor, toil, tame nature, fight the boogeyman, and essentially protect and die for everyone. This is not an equitable division of labor. But we all know that females wield this card to compel obligatory lifelong contracts of servitude by harping on the discomfort of 9 months plus a couple of years of breastfeeding and diaper changes. Yeah, never mind the miserable years that dad spends dealing with aches and pains and stress in order to provide, protect, and if need be, die for these children and their mother. Mothers are not more valuable, more nurturing, nor caring. In fact, in many cases, I find that males are the more loyal and loving of the parents. Females are equipped to both birth and initially sustain infants nutritionally. However, they are biologically driven to do this. This does not mean that they are more loving or caring towards their offspring, and quite often, it is blatantly obvious that mothers are much more detrimental to children, boys especially. We hold motherhood in esteem as the highest calling of humanity. People are zealously indoctrinated to fiercely protect mothers, and this is why it has been an antagonistic tactic for males to make fun of each other's mother, because she is sacred, and thus mother mockery is a below-the-belt insult. I have long been critical of mothers because of my life observations of them. So I am risking the wrath of a world full of white knights, but I have observed a few things. First, more females than we know have kids for any reason other than love. They have biological instincts to procreate, and most females simply satiate this biological imperative just to shut up their screaming instincts. Next, they will use kids to compel provision and servitude from males and society. Females are crafty. Most recognize offspring as their ticket to protection and provision in life. They have kids to fulfill their own needs for sustenance and protection because males and/or the state will provide for these children and, of course, the female that harbors them. Furthermore, females understand that by attaching themselves to children, all ambient males will come running to protect them. In any crisis, a female merely grabs a kid, and she can expect all males to defend her and this kid with their very lives, even if the child is not hers. Females attach children to their side, and they are assured protection first and foremost in any situation. This statement is not cynical or misogynistic. It is observable truth. It is an unsightly little truism that, to many females, children are simply a survival strategy to receive protection and exemption from toil or labor because she can't defend herself since she is busy raising the kids, the hardest job on the planet. And since she wants to stay home and raise the kids, hence everybody else needs to provide for her needs and sustenance. Whether that provision takes the form of a series of single males via marriage or through state-sanctioned programs like welfare. Next, females secretly harbor some degree of resentment towards their own offspring because these brats have ruined her body and cost her most valuable male manipulative bargaining chip, youth. This piece of dirty laundry is such a stain on the sterling reputation of females as mothers that no female would ever concede this ugly little truth. There was a scene from that movie where the mother is hunting down the eldest son throughout the house while screaming, "I gave you everything! I gave you my youth!" I was surprised that such a statement of stark truth made it into a gynocentrically motivated industry such as movie making. This is a statement that most all mothers secretly harbor against their children, at least towards the firstborn, who was the initial thief of her youth, her firm, tight body, and taut vagina. In this case, the movie accurately mimicked reality, where she blamed him for ruining her body and her dreams like it was his fault, like he has this unpaid bill to her. Females would never admit this, since they perpetuate that their children are their life, which is true. Kids provide females the life of protection and provision that they know. Hence, mothers would never dare utter in any way, shape, form, or fashion that they harbor resentment against their kids. You see, mothers are still female, and females desire attention and worship from the environmental populace. Yet, here comes this crying, drooling, helpless mess that she has to take care of, and that is a cramp in her style, because it takes the focus off of her and her wants and places priority on this drooling, diaper-filling ingrate that she now has to get up in the middle of the night to shut up. Also, females will harbor specific resentment against male offspring because they are a reminder of that loser that fathered him, and the male offspring becomes a convenient, constant target of all the disgust that she secretly harbors against males. And so, many will indoctrinate their male offspring into the provider role and raise them in an environment of misandry and female elevation. In some cases, some mothers will harbor resentment against their female offspring, especially when they begin to mature, because this daughter is young and beautiful, still firm, taut, and getting all the male attention that the mother used to get before she destroyed her body having kids. Whereas now, mom is all stretched out and deteriorating, watching her female offspring revel in attention. Attention that she used to get before this ingrate destroyed her youth and supple beauty. Moreover, females who are mothers are so completely sold on the motherhood sacredness that they are above reproach. Thus, if any offspring does not do exactly as mother demands, then she turns into the victim and blames the child for being ungrateful. She carried you for 9 months, and this is how you repay her? Yeah, over and over, you will see this theme of debt that children have towards their mother. Mothers think that children are forever and always overwhelmingly indebted to her, and society absolutely agrees. Apparently, months in incubation earned you a lifetime of servitude to the uterus that had you for her own ulterior motives, least of them being love. Besides instincts and survival strategy, females have kids because they are ordered to by religion, which demonizes birth control and sanctions a god who needs females to pop out as many church members as possible. Females, they realize that children invoke protection and provision from males and society, yet at the same time, they resent their kids, especially when they become an inconvenience, such as when the attention and the baby showers are over, and it is simply her having to clean up the messes or deal with misbehaving brats, where she can't merely go out and do whatever she wants, whenever she wants. Then, females resent their kids, and you can see this all day, every day. Just set up a camp chair at Walmart or any mall and watch how the general female treats her whining, cumbersome offspring. There is anything but love. You will see the exasperation in these mothers' faces. They desired kids for the protection and provision that children allot them from society, yet they loathe these whiny, needy little brats at the same time. And you can observe this in most public places. Oh, you bet, it's easy to melt when kids are cute little infants gooing and gawing. Yet, when they exit the cute phase and develop personalities, disobedience, and backtalk, then you will see mother's resentment manifest. She gave up her youth and firm tautness for this sass and backtalk? Now, before I get lynched, yes, there are some genuinely decent mothers out there. Indeed, all females that become mothers do inevitably sacrifice some amount of time, energy, youth, and freedom for their offspring. Though females do not care about male welfare, they are capable of loving and caring for children. Indeed, I would be irresponsible and wrong if I claimed all mothers to be misandrists abusing their sons. Yes, there are many mothers who seek the genuine welfare of offspring. Yet I would argue that more mothers than not seek child welfare because instinct compels her to do this, not because she loves her offspring more than she loves herself. And I will go further to say that females care instinctually about all offspring, yet morally they care more for female offspring, since boys are still male, little cubs who will eventually grow into full-size grizzlies who will maul female hikers. We view boys as merely mini murderers, rapists, and shovels who are still disposable, thus they are devalued, marginalized, and trained to be self-deprecating utilities. If mothers truly loved male offspring, they would protect them from harm, meaning that, essentially, mothers would protect sons from gynocentrism. They would not cut their genitalia, they would not train them to be utilities, and they would lash out at anyone trying to thrust utility onto their precious little boy. Oh, how we bend over backwards to protect little girls. But our little shovels? Oh, yeah, please. Clean your room, get out and mow the lawn, then take care of your mother and sisters. Being gynocentrically brainwashed, most people will militantly refute everything that I propose here, citing their mother or grandmother as sterling beyond reproach would move the sun, moon, and stars because she loves her children more than life itself. Yes, yes, we've all seen the brochures regarding the holiness of motherhood. However, I must point out that acting from a place of true love is different from acting from a place of instinct. We seem to label everything a female does for offspring welfare as love, when in reality, most offspring protecting actions are resultant from instinct. Hence, we will label all motherly actions as love and exalt mothers accordingly. Again, I acknowledge that mothers do sacrifice for their offspring. However, the source of this sacrifice is suspect and open to debate. Donating to charity because you care is one thing. Donating to charity because you are looking for a tax write-off is something else entirely. Oh, yes, both can claim that they donate to charity, yet this donation comes from two entirely different motivations. Likewise, a female having children because she wants nothing more than to dedicate her life to caring for another being is different than a female producing offspring for manipulative purposes, or because she is told to do so by her instincts or society or religion or the ubiquitous traditionalist family indoctrination, or because she wants a male to navigate the hostilities of the world as she stays home to raise the kids while society brags her up as having the hardest job in the world. We are led to believe that females are angels, pure and benevolent. Hence, gynocentrism is born, and thus we worship the divine feminine. Anything females do is divinity. We further propose that females obeying instinct is tantamount to holiness. Society advertises and believes that females obeying their biological imperative to conceive and deliver offspring, that these human mothers are the highest of high, and hence their sacrifice for their children can only come from a place of pure love. And we believe this to the point where it is sacrilegious blasphemy to dare even question a mother's love. However, people can sense that there is a disconnect between our fairy tales of mothers possessing infinite love and what we see surrounding us in society in our own or others' families. Yes, I have the audacity to claim that mother's love comes from instinct, the same way an animal mother will defend her cubs with her life. However, her defense of her cubs is not a higher function of love from some exalted uterine-equipped deity. It is merely a biological imperative that human females also concede to. Females will sacrifice and sing their children to sleep, or take them to the doctor, or kiss their hurts away, because they are programmed to protect these little defenseless humans. You betcha! Mothers can care, and they can take joy in toddlers, or they can genuinely laugh and enjoy their children. Yet this does not demonstrate selfless, enlightened love. Our culture and children themselves have twisted everything a mother does out of instinct into an act born of divinity, since she is female, and females are the incarnation of benevolence and purity, as everybody knows. Females can and do sacrifice for offspring. This is not in question. Yet children are the only creatures they will sacrifice for. When children are out of the picture, such as when they are adults, the female's priority returns to normal, and they focus on themselves. Females will not and do not sacrifice for males the way that males sacrifice for children, for spouse, for general female populace, for country, for community, for planet. For everyone. Females spend life concerned with their own well-being and survival. Then they temporarily shift this concern to the child's welfare. Yet when children are no longer in need, she shifts the attention right back to her own welfare. However, as a result of increasing toxicity resultant from gynocentrism in our world, more and more females are keeping their priorities on themselves, even if they do have kids. You see this where other family members or elder siblings raise each other while mom is out doing her thing. Many females do truly embrace this motherhood role, as this will boost their value and validation, since they really have nothing else to show for their existence besides being a collection of male devaluing, female entitling beliefs. So, thus, their esteem, their identity is wrapped up in being an exalted, glorified deity, also known as a human mother. I will dare to say that nearly all kids have seen the cruelty, the selfishness, the conditions of mommy's unconditional love, even if they do not want to admit this or have trouble consciously recalling such incidents of mommy's maliciousness that they have buried in their subconscious memories. You see, most children are bonded to mothers, and thus kids will repress or justify seeing mom do or treat them or daddy in less than loving ways, and still they will exalt her as glorious for birthing them. Again, they have a debt to repay. Children will find any and all excuses to explain away mother's cruelty or mistreatment, especially boys, and this is not coincidence. Children exalting mothers despite mistreatment, this is not fortuitous. First, we have children that bond to mothers chemically by the cocktails in breast milk, namely oxytocin. Then, kids are usually surrounded by and overwhelmed with mother's presence in their early, extremely impressionable years. After that, we have a society that worships motherhood and propagandizes mothers as the literal be-all and end-all. So it's no wonder that most people will get militant in their protection of motherhood, or at least their own mother, as the best that ever was. This is no surprise. We are indoctrinated to parrot this. Mothers are overrated, while fathers are pathetically underrated. Mothers, yes, they are equipped to raise infants, but fathers are equipped to raise adults. Mothers are important to about 5 or so, and then fathers are needed to raise loving, caring, strong, responsible human beings. I have observed most mothers to be self-interested, entitled, hypergamous, gynocentric females who took a temporary detour into motherhood, yet will inevitably return to her overpowering female predispositions and gynocentric predilections at her earliest convenience. Yep, I know, the blasphemy just keeps shooting out of my pie hole, huh, doesn't it? But I am not the only one who has been seeing these things. Motherhood does not demonstrate female benevolence or caring. It simply demonstrates females obeying instinct by succumbing to biological urges and drives, just as their female counterparts in the animal kingdom. I happen to know some 5-0, and one told me about a call that he got the other day. So he goes to this apartment on a disturbance complaint. And after he tells the girls to turn their music down, he casually asks one if she was in school and what she planned for herself in the future. She flat out tells him that she planned on getting pregnant and living off of welfare. He said that she was deadpan serious, not joking. Yeah, that sounds about right. Make no mistake, females absolutely know what children represent to their personal sustenance. Oh, I know. Every male will say that his mother is the exception, the one human female turned mother who truly loves from a higher place, not from instinct to care for offspring, then use them for protection and provision for herself as a shield through life. Sure, go ahead, take some random memory and pretend that your mom is different. I am not trying to depreciate the memories you have of mom or devalue the sacrifices that she has made for you. I am simply pointing out gynocentric strongholds, and motherhood is one of the largest male devaluing fortifications. This movie was quite accurate in the truths it revealed, where you see so many intertwining misandristic gynocentric themes throughout. And in the end, she is held in immunity to her actions, which is accurately how society treats females. They are spared repercussion for their actions, since we promote them as divinity, whereas in reality, we simply treat them as adult children. So this lady kills her kids and others, and she is exonerated of reprisal. Moreover, the idiot father wants her back, even to the detriment of his surviving son, should she snap again, and of course she will. So what we see is everybody bending over backwards to coddle this victim of dream repression, patriarchal oppression, and postpartum depression. Females are innocent and immune to consequence because they are female. Then you add hormonal fluctuation resultant from occupying the most highest of high offices in the land, motherhood, and now they are untouchable like Elliot Ness, victims of everyone and everything else. I'm actually surprised that more females do not maraud the countryside with an angry chainsaw and blame murdering sprees on their menstruation. Oh, it's not their fault. Hormonal fluctuations. What are you gonna do? My purpose here is to speak my observations, not to needlessly defame others. You see, in order to be truly liberated from gynocentrism and to empower yourself, we must break down all female-exalting platforms, not simply tackle feminist lunacy solely, while leaving motherhood untouched. Gynocentrism overshadows all, and we must acknowledge this and excise it wherever it hides. We need to leave no ground for our quarry to go. So we do no good if we let our gynocentric quarry find immunity and protection in motherhood. The truly emboldened, the trailblazers, will track down gynocentrism wherever it may hide. Nothing can be off limits, otherwise we do not affect change or justice to male welfare. Most people lack the courage to speak the horrors that they see in the divine female parent, so I will. Mothers are not the holy be-all and end-all that they are made out to be. In fact, I have always had a nagging feeling that males should not be raised by females solely. Yet, I have never expressed this gut feeling during my life, lest I be executed for daring to cast a shadow upon the holy office of motherhood. Still, I have always felt that we hurt juvenile males by leaving them alone with mothers. And now, being awakened and liberated, I know the reasoning behind this nagging suspicion that has been present throughout my journeys. We abandon males to devaluation and ultimately disposability when we abandon sons to their mothers. And that is what is happening more and more. Is it coincidence that this world is becoming more and more toxic, more and more gynocentric and misandristic as we have more and more boys being raised by mothers alone? Let's think about this. Mothers abuse male offspring. They indoctrinate boys. They compel utility from their sons, whether or not it is conscious or intentional. Mothers are detrimental to sons' welfare, period. Curse me and send me death threats all you want, but somebody has to say it. Exceptions? Sure, there are a handful, But females are gynocentric, and so they raise their sons in that fashion. And this, by necessity, devalues male worth and value. This is simply how it is. I understand that your mom made cookies or read you that bedtime story, so she has a place in heaven and in your heart. However, here, in this three-dimensional realm, the truth is, mothers hurt their sons with gynocentric indoctrination, and they do disservice to their daughters as well by pampering and coddling them or by raising them to be entitled princesses. Yet the daughters are female and gynocentrically programmed to begin with. So, with or without mom's encouragement, daughters will find their way to usurpation of male utility. Oh, absolutely. Females are empathetically equipped to raise females. However, allowing mothers to raise sons is like allowing Stalin to run a daycare. Mothers raising sons is nothing but an intense indoctrination of gynocentrism and female subjugation that these loving females pass along to their boys. Meanwhile, all offspring are raised to loathe and disparage daddy for everything. And many times, fathers abandon their offspring to unprotected gynocentric male devaluing indoctrination from mom and society because he is busy dealing with his own devaluation and emasculation since he is still male after all, which means he is alone and uncared for. Most fathers, however, rise above their own abuse and marginalization in order to still provide for and care about their children. Follow the chain of custody. We are a gynocentric, male-devaluing species, and females are especially predisposed to male contempt because, for one, they are inundated with images of female oppression by a bloodthirsty male population, and two, they are hypergamous, and by default, this means they are self-enriching opportunists who see males as resources to extract from. So, females are instinctually programmed and culturally indoctrinated into devaluing males at the same time that they are using them as discardable Kleenexes. You think none of mom's bigotry or biases will affect her offspring? Really? Are you good and offended by my lack of motherly reverence? Good. We need to really examine our beliefs here, as I have seen and heard of too much negativity wrought by mothers throughout time. Motherhood is not the highest calling in creation, second only to God. It is an imperfect procreative model whose female players harbor contempt and ill against the male players. My friends, recognize gynocentrism wherever it hides, even if it finds refuge in dear old mom. My brothers, stand with me, live free.